All right, everyone ready for a deep dive? Today we're tackling something I think a lot of people have a love-hate relationship with, economics.
Oh,
You know,
yes.
that subject that either made you want to pull an all-nighter or an all-nighter just to avoid it.
Yeah, it can be a bit dry.
Well, and instead of dusting off those old textbooks,
Right.
we're going behind the scenes of a real Econ 101 lecture.
Cool.
We have the actual transcript, and you know me.
Yeah.
I love sifting through this stuff to find those hidden gems. So consider this your crash course from Econ 101. But this time, it's going to be anything but boring.
I'll do my best.
Oh, I promise you that.
Yeah.
We're talking about the forces that drive our everyday decisions, the logic behind market trends, even how something like a typhoon halfway across the world can lead to a toilet paper shortage right here at home.
Wow, that's quite a range.
Yeah, we'll unpack all of that and more, drawing on the insights from the lecture and connecting them to the real world.
Sounds good.
So let's start with the bedrock of economic supply and demand. The lecture kicks off with the concept of demand, that relationship between a goods price and how much people want to buy.
Sure. So
pretty basic, right?
Think of it like this. Imagine your favorite coffee shop suddenly jacks up the price of your latte. Chances are you might not be swinging by as often.
Exactly. That's that downward sloping demand curve in action.
Right.
As the price goes up, the quantity demanded goes down.
Yeah, but the lecture also talks about this idea of natural goods.
Oh, yeah.
You know, things people tend to buy more of as their income increases.
So as people earn more, they buy more.
Think about meat consumption. As people earn more, they tend to incorporate more meat into their diets.
Yeah, but it's not just income that can shift that demand curve, right?
No, definitely not.
Like, what about a sudden surge in popularity because of, say, a celebrity endorsement?
Absolutely. That's a shift in consumer preferences, and it can have a huge impact on demand, regardless of the price.
Yeah.
Think about those trendy sneakers everyone's suddenly clamoring for.
Oh, or those fidget spinners a few years back.
Exactly. Fads.
And speaking of substitutes, the lecture uses a great example of fish and meat.
Mm.
You know, if fish prices suddenly go through the roof,
you might be grilling a lot more burgers.
Wow.
It's all about finding alternatives when the price of one good makes its substitute look more appealing.
Okay, let's flip the script and talk about supply.
All right.
The lecture puts us right in the shoes of a lobster fisherman, which I thought was brilliant.
It's a good way to visualize it. So,
yeah.
You've got your fixed costs.
Like the boat.
Yeah, the lobster boat itself.
Okay.
And your variable costs, which change depending on how much you're catching.
So things like bait and wages and fuel and stuff like that.
Sink bait, crew wages, fuel, and so on.
Right. But then the lecture throws us a curveball, talking about this average cost curve and how it has this like U shape.
Yeah.
Why do costs initially go down and then start creeping back up as you produce more?
So as you add more fishermen to that same boat, they're initially able to haul in a lot more lobsters, which brings down the average cost per lobster.
So more hands make lighter work, at least at first.
Exactly. But there's a point of diminishing returns. Eventually, you have too many fishermen on that boat. They're bumping into each other, getting in each other's way, and that efficiency starts to drop, driving costs back up.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Okay, so we've got demand.
Yep.
We've got supply. And now the lecture takes us to this almost mythical concept, marginal cost.
It sounds complicated,
yeah.
But it's actually the key to unlocking maximum profit.
I like that, so.
The lecture highlights this idea that when the price equals marginal cost,
okay,
that's where the magic happens.
And I love how the lecture uses visuals to bring this to life.
Right.
It's like fitting the perfect size rectangle under that demand curve to represent profit.
Yeah.
So producing less than that point means you're leaving money on the table and producing more.
You're actually losing money on each additional unit.
Okay.
It's all about finding that sweet spot where every lobster you catch is contributing to your profit.
I'm starting to see how this theoretical stuff can actually apply to real-world decisions.
It all connects.
Speaking of the real world, remember that toilet paper crisis a few years back?
Oh, yeah, the one where everyone was hoarding toilet paper like it was gold.
Exactly. The lecture uses this as the perfect example of how messing with market forces can backfire. Big time.
So it all started with a typhoon.
Okay.
Which disrupted supply chains and led to some initial shortages.
Right.
But then the panic buying kicked in.
And suddenly everyone's stocking up.
Yeah.
Even those who didn't really need to.
And that demand curve goes haywire.
Right. And what happens when demand skyrockets while supply remains relatively fixed?
Prices go up, naturally.
But then the government stepped in trying to prevent price gouging.
Oh, yeah.
They thought they were protecting consumers, but...
It actually made the problem worse.
Oh, wow.
By imposing price controls, they removed the incentive for suppliers to ramp up production and bring more toilet paper to the market.
So those empty shelves persisted, and people were scrambling to find toilet paper at any price.
Yeah, it's a classic example.
That's the unintended consequence of trying to control a system that, at its core, relies on those natural forces of supply and demand.
Exactly. It's hard to predict.
This brings us to another hot-button issue, minimum wage.
Okay.
The lecture uses this brilliant, albeit slightly humorous, example of a minimum wage for economics professors.
Interesting.
Wait, hold up. Economics professors going on strike for higher pay? That's a mental image I wasn't prepared for.
Of course, it's a hypothetical scenario.
Yeah.
But it illustrates a crucial point. When you set a minimum wage above what the market naturally dictates...
You risk creating an imbalance.
Right. Meaning more people are willing to work at that higher wage, but there aren't enough jobs available.
And this can lead to unemployment.
Precisely.
Which is a lose-lose situation.
Yeah.
Those who can't find jobs miss out on income, and the economy misses out on their potential contributions.
Exactly.
So it's not as simple as saying, let's just raise the minimum wage and everyone will be better off.
Right. There are always trade-offs to consider, and the lecture encourages us to think about alternative solutions, like investing in education and training to improve worker productivity.
Which could naturally lead to higher wages without those unintended consequences.
Exactly. It's more sustainable.
Okay. I'm starting to see how these economic principles, even the ones that seem dry in those Econ 101 classes, actually play out in the real world.
And we're just getting started. Next, we'll delve into market failures, externalities, and the fascinating world of taxation.
Get ready to level up your economic understanding. Stay tuned, folks, because we're about to take this deep dive to the next level.
Sounds good.
Okay, so we've talked supply and demand and marginal cost.
Right.
And even saw how messing with market forces can really backfire, like in the toilet paper panic of 2020.
Yeah, that was a good example.
But I have a feeling there's more to this story.
Definitely.
The lecture dives into this concept of market failures, those situations where the market doesn't quite work out the way it should.
Right. So those perfectly competitive markets, kind of like the ideal scenario, but things are usually a bit more complicated in the real world.
And one of those complications, I think, are externalities.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those costs or benefits that spill over onto people who aren't directly involved in the transaction.
Right. The lecture uses the example of copper mining.
Oh, okay.
So the market price of copper reflects the cost of production, labor, materials, all that.
But it doesn't account for the pollution created during mining.
Exactly. So those costs are borne by the environment, communities nearby, even future generations.
So those are negative externalities.
Right. And you can have positive externalities, too, like
yeah.
the benefits we all get from widespread vaccination.
Right. Even if I personally didn't get a flu shot, I benefit because it reduces the spread.
Exactly.
So how do we deal with externalities then?
Well, the lecture suggests a few approaches.
Right.
One is government regulation.
Right.
Things like emission standards for factories.
Okay.
Or subsidies for renewable energy.
So trying to nudge things in the right direction.
Yeah. Another approach is to try to internalize those externalities.
Like with a carbon tax.
Exactly.
So if you make polluters pay for the environmental damage,
it forces them to consider the true cost.
Makes sense.
It's about making those hidden costs visible.
Okay, so what other market failures are out there?
The lecture talks about market power.
Oh.
So think about those industries where a few companies control most of the market.
Like big tech or pharmaceuticals?
Exactly. So competition's limited, and those companies have a lot of influence over prices.
Which isn't always good for consumers.
Right. And that's where government intervention comes in.
To try to even the playing field.
Yeah. Things like antitrust laws or price regulations.
To make sure no one has too much power.
Exactly. To keep the market fair.
Okay, so let's switch gears and talk about taxes.
Right.
Always everyone's favorite topic.
Well, love them or hate them, they're a necessary part of any economy.
I guess so. How do they affect the market, though?
The lecture uses a good example, a meat producer, to show how taxes affect the market.
So say the government puts a tax on every kilo of meat produced.
And let's say the meat producers absorb that tax.
Name.
They pay it.
Okay.
So their marginal cost goes up.
And then what?
Well, when marginal cost increases,
the supply curve shifts to the left.
Right. Less meat is being supplied at every price.
And that usually means higher prices for consumers.
Exactly. And maybe less meat sold.
Isn't that kind of the point of taxes, though?
To get money for the government.
Sure.
Absolutely. They need the revenue for all sorts of things. Services, infrastructure.
But we don't want to cause too much disruption to the market.
Right. That's where dead weight loss comes in.
So how do you design a good tax system?
That's the big question.
Yeah.
The lecture mentions taxing goods with inelastic demand.
I'm not sure I remember. What does that mean again?
So that means even if the price goes up, people aren't going to change their buying habits much.
Like gas or cigarettes?
Exactly. People still need to drive, and people addicted to nicotine are unlikely to stop just because the price goes up.
So the government can get more revenue without a big drop in demand.
And without causing that dead weight loss.
Okay, so elasticity is kind of like this code to understand the market.
In a way, yeah.
Now, the lecture takes us to the other end of the spectrum, monopolies.
The opposite of competition.
So one company controls everything.
Right. No competition to keep them honest.
So what happens in a monopoly?
Well, they can set prices higher.
I figured.
And they often produce less.
Which drives up prices more?
Right. So it's not always good for consumers.
But sometimes monopolies happen naturally.
Yeah, sometimes a company's just that good.
But you usually need some regulations to make sure they don't abuse that power.
Definitely. A bit of competition keeps everyone on their toes.
For sure. Well, I'm really starting to understand how all this fits together.
It's all connected.
Okay, so we're talking elasticity.
Right.
Is it like those stress balls you squeeze when you're totally freaking out about an econ exam?
Not quite.
Okay.
But I like the way you're thinking. It's all about how much demand or supply changes.
Stretches.
Yeah. Stretches or doesn't when the price changes.
The lecture uses this analogy with a rubber band.
Yeah. And a piece of string.
So if you pull a rubber band, it stretches.
Right.
But a string.
Not so much.
Okay. So the rubber band, that's elastic demand.
Exactly.
A small change in price makes a big difference in how much people buy.
Like if those designer jeans you want go on sale.
I'm buying two pairs.
Exactly.
But what about if my prescription medication goes on sale?
Well, you still need your meds.
Yeah, sale or no sale.
Right. That's inelastic demand.
Okay.
The price doesn't really affect how much people buy.
And this matters for like businesses and taxes and stuff.
Absolutely.
Like you wouldn't want to put a big tax on something with elastic demand.
Nope. People would just stop buying it.
So elasticity is like a secret code to understanding the market.
You could say that.
Now, the lecture goes to monopolies.
Uh-huh.
The opposite of competition.
Right. One company calling all the shots.
So what happens then?
Well, they can set prices higher.
Makes sense.
And they often produce less.
Which just makes the prices go up even more.
Exactly.
So that's not great for us.
Well, not always. Sometimes monopolies just happen because a company is really good at what they do.
Okay.
But you usually need some regulation to make sure they don't abuse their power.
Right, because competition keeps everyone working harder.
Definitely.
Well, I'm feeling a lot more confident about my economics knowledge now.
I'm glad to hear that.
I'm starting to see the bigger picture.
It's all connected.
It is. Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive.
It has.
We went from supply and demand all the way to monopolies.
And everything in between.
Yeah, so hopefully everyone listening is walking away feeling a little less intimidated by economics.
It's not as scary as it seems.
And who knows, maybe you'll even find yourself enjoying it.
You never know.
All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into economics.
Thanks for having me.
Don't forget to share your thoughts with us online. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time.